I know I'm late. I'm definitely running late today. Hope you're having a great Monday, and I hope you had a great weekend. I'm Dr. Missy Hood with Ezekiel's Wheel and the 15-Minute Rev, a prophetic broadcast for frontrunners and intercessors. For those of you working your way into C4 with us, with high-level angelic revelation, I told you you could expect that around C3, C4. C3 starts, which is a chamber of God's heart. You have four chambers to your heart, right? So God's got four chambers to his. So anyway, welcome to the broadcast this afternoon. I want to welcome everybody. I know I got a late start, so I'm probably going to have a low viewing audience, but that's cool. You know, I'll probably catch a lot of you on the replay. But if you don't know, we're also over on Rumble right now. You want to catch me at MissyH123 on Rumble to catch the replays. I'm on several different platforms. We're kind of taking a break from YouTube right now because of censorship, but we'll be back on there hopefully soon, and hopefully you'll be able to catch us, and we can keep you informed as to what's going on in the news, what's going on with witchcraft, and helping you to move through God's heart. But what's God saying to you today? Because the 15-Minute Rev now, this is an interesting title. I didn't actually even count on God going here, but it's very, very interesting prophetically, where he's talking about being overthrown. And then he talks about obey now prophecies, the obey now prophecies, the storm, and then the blue sapphire throne. And I thought that was very, very interesting for where we're at right now as frontrunners and intercessors, because, you know, only God can get us into the new. And if we believe the prophets were blessed. And so I stepped into this word today, actually after having a dream last night about a cobra. So if you're getting hit with weird things, early death assignments, and freak accidents, I think that has to do with that. That's what that represents, by the way. Anytime you dream of a snake or anything like that, it has to do with early death assignments and freak accidents. And so you need to be breaking those off, severing those off, making sure you keep them away from you in the spirit. Because if you don't attend to them, what you don't know can harm you. So you need to be attentive to what you dream about. So again, I'm Dr. Missy Hood. Welcome to the 15-Minute Rev. We're going to jump right into the word. And if you haven't noticed that corruption is very, very high, the enemy knows his time is short. There's corruption in the church, in the government especially. We all know that, obviously. And it's on all the seven mountains because of the way the globalists have gotten entrenched into all of the international, federal, state, city, county, and personal level. And the Lord's saying, be very, very careful with what you post online right now, or in your business dealings, in the natural or in the spirit. Just be very careful. Be watchful, wise as a serpent, gentle as a dove. But keeping everything prayed up and staying under the radar as best you can while God comes on the scene through the white hats. We're living in a time, pardon me, where God is pulling down the evil. And those that refuse to stand with the Lord are quickly finding themselves in a lurch. The word of the hour is honor, because God is looking for those who would honor only his name and no other. Have you heard that Facebook also has changed its name, speaking of which, and its branding to the name called Meta? What does Meta mean? Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever considered what you might be utilizing and what you may be connecting yourself with? The Hebrew, actually Meta is a Hebrew term, and its actual meaning is meaning dead. This is highly concerning, as the devil has made no bones about his intentions against God's people. So yes, we're in his way. You're in his way. And he's out to move God's people out of the way. So this is why you have to keep fighting and keep standing. And you can get off, if you can, I would suggest getting off Facebook and getting onto Rumble or other social media sites, because these sites are fixing to be judged. These demonic sites are fixing to be judged. Good afternoon, everybody. So you need to be attentive to what you're connecting to. It's all about who you're connected to in this hour, their roots and their fruits. So be attentive to that. That's coming from the prophets and the apostles. And that's been coming forward for the past year. And if you're not aware too, Facebook's run by the FBI. I don't know if you're aware of that. The only reason I'm on here is for this. And that's all I post on here. I don't post any personal information about myself on here at all. So be very, very careful about that. Why do you think they wanted your data or family photos, etc.? And that's because it's all used in psychological warfare against you. The more they know about you, the more they know how to use ads and different types of disinformation to mislead God's people. So you need to be abreast and discerning about what you're reading, what you're connecting to, because they're studying you through your own information. So you need to be wise as a serpent and gentle as a dove. And if you don't have a firm foundation in Christ, you're going to be duped every time, every single time. We have a lot of people getting caught up in the spirit of hate. By the way, if you're not familiar with that, that is actually considered the devil's heart. I don't know if you're familiar with that. I've talked about the Lord's clock, the Maseroff, as well as the devil's clock, which is the zodiac. The devil's clock is based around the flesh. So if you're sensing a lot of hate around you, that's because a lot of society is caught up in the flesh right now. And I was thinking about that yesterday and today, thinking, oh my God, we're surrounded by it. I mean, everybody's just seemingly caught up in this mess. And so if you're in ministry and you feel like you're getting hit from all sides with so many people hating on you, the Lord says it's because you're probably aligned with true love and you're over the target. We're taking hits too. And so, and I'm all good with it. I have a peace about it. I'm totally, actually, I'm very encouraged because it's not about what we see in the natural that counts. It's what we see in the supernatural. You need to be paying attention and believing what you see by the Spirit before you believe what you see in the natural, because your eyes will fail you. I've said that many, many times. And so we're going to move right into the word this afternoon, and it's based around Ezekiel 1:1 through Ezekiel 3:15, where God is calling all vessels that he's lifted up from such a time as this. He's got a calling on your vessel. And it's about the calling in this hour. It's about judgment on Jerusalem or the nations or the world right now on the international, federal, state, city, county, and personal level. And then it's about restoration. That's the first part of the word. There are four sections to this word today. And it's actually going to be super interesting. Just stay with me a little bit because it's going to make sense as it unfolds. And I never know where these words are going until I get into them and I start watching God unfold the word. And I'm like, wow, this is interesting, Lord. It's right here, right now with where we're at. But like Jeremiah, remember we've been studying the book of Jeremiah, and Jeremiah was an in your face prophet. And like Jeremiah, Ezekiel was just like him. He was an in-your-face prophet. He was an action prophet. He was called to be a priest like Jeremiah. And so Ezekiel was also called an in-your-face prophet. He preached the do it now, obey now word. And he preached those types of prophecies to the people of God. And it didn't matter. The Lord told me it didn't matter if the people weren't listening or not. He was just called to obey. Obey the Lord and give the word. Kind of like what I'm doing right now. I'm just obeying the Lord and giving you the word, and whatever you do with it is between you and God. None of my business. But this caught the attention. His truthfulness caught the attention of the people truly seeking after God's own heart, because they recognized the anointing and they recognized the truth, and they recognized that the truth was taking them somewhere. And so they were always tapped into that stream in which Jeremiah or Ezekiel preached out of. And so this is where we're at today. We're the others with the people who aren't serving the Lord. The Lord is saying the people who aren't really pursuing the Lord, the prophet's words are offending them, and they're either pushing them into deeper rebellion or just outright sin. So what is the stream that you're listening to pressing you into? Deeper levels of truth, or is it pressing you away? Is it pushing you away because you don't want to deal with the issues of your own heart? Because that's the word that's coming forth in this hour from deliverance ministers like myself, or from front runners and intercessors. That's the word from the prophets as well. Everything is about the prophetic. Everything is about the truth. Everything is about getting free, and everything is about getting into deep levels of love. That's the word right now. So if you're pushed away and you're pushing the truth away, chances are you need to deal with your own heart condition. So these are the actions we're seeing today in the church and society around us. People now are either looking for the truth or they're seeking their flesh. And those are the only two facts to be seen if you think about it and you look around you. And there are four sections in the book of Ezekiel which God focused on. And he was focusing on the call and seeing how many people were going to be true to the calling. Or were they, especially if you're in ministries and you're taking a lot of hits right now, are you still going to stay true in this hour where all the storm is building up around you and trying to push God down? Are you going to stand up in the middle of the storm, or are you going to cower down to it? That's the first thing he's focused on, is our loyalty to God. The second thing he's focused on is God's judgment on Jerusalem. Judgment's drawing near right now. The truth is marching on. I've said this in past refs. The truth, God is the way, the truth, and the life. If the truth is marching on, that means that for those who listen to the truth are being set free. For the people who are rejecting the truth, they're being thrown out. They're being spewed out in this hour. Pardon me, because as the Spirit of the Lord draws nearer to his true people, he can't be where sin is. He can't. So what's happening is that for those who are choosing to get free and to become more Christ-minded, Christ-hearted, love-minded, love-hearted, true, warm, unconditional love of Jesus, then that God is drawing them deeper under his wings of protection. But so there's judgment drawing near onto the people group of America, the people groups around the world that are Christians and non-Christians, and which brings God's presence as well with his putting his finger on different things, but he's also judging the nations through this process. So he's judging people groups and he's judging the nations while he's restoring his own people. So there's a lot of things going on right now. And this is for this hour. He's doing multiple things. He's looking for loyalty. He's looking for warm, loyal, loving, godly people that are only seeking after a heart like his own. And then he's bringing in judgment because the truth is marching on. The truth brings judgment with it the closer the Father draws near his people. He is the way, the truth, and the life. So if he's the way, the truth, and the life, he can't help but bring judgment when he gets around sin. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And then he's restoring his people. So he's judging people groups and he's judging nations and bringing restoration. And this is what the Ezekiel prophecy focuses on. And its main emphasis actually is on the glory of God and the honor of his name. Do you realize that 67 times in the book of Ezekiel, the statement, "I am the Lord," is found? Have you ever seen that? Did you know that? The Lord uses the statement, "I am the Lord," is found in this book, and several times where God tells his true remnant to act for his name's sake, be loyal to the Lord, and stay true to him, even though the storm is raging around you right now. And actually, to me, this tells me that God is trying to get his own children's attention, to be honest with you. This is a time where I think we all need to be paying attention in order to stay safe and not be caught up in fear. There's no fear in love, but to be attentive while staying in an honoring position of our King, so that his holy name won't be profaned. Had the people of Judah actually been honoring the Lord, this is my opinion, I believe he wouldn't have dishonored them in front of their enemies. That's what their disobedience cost them. When we refuse to honor the Lord says, if you announce me, or if you believe in me before men, I'll acknowledge you before my Father in heaven. If you acknowledge me before men, I'll acknowledge you before my Father in heaven. Jesus said that. Jesus said that. And I believe that same premise is what God is trying to bring across. It's like, how loyal are we to our relationship with the Lord when everybody else seems to be falling away and turning their backs on him, dismissing God, dismissing his ways, making people feel like, oh, you're a bunch of conspiracy theorists to continue believing in God and believing the best. Well, what does love do? Think about this. What does love do? Love believes the best of a holy God in all circumstances. It believes the best of love. True love believes the best and draws out the best in other people around you. So it's my opinion, I believe, that God the Father is trying to train his frontrunners, intercessors, his people, how to believe the best of him in all things, no matter what's going on around us. Not believing in what we see with our eyes, because our eyes will fail us. I believe this has to do with the government mountain and the church mountain. And it also is God's way of pointing his fingers at rebels. That's what he's doing. He's putting his finger on the rebels. Those of you without sin, cast the first stone. That's what he said. Those of you who want to look at me or my people through the eyes of religion, cast the first stone. Those of you who want to try to manipulate and control me as your Father in heaven, cast the first stone. Judge me, says the Lord. But you'll be breaking Matthew 7:12. It says, judge not lest you be judged. So I believe that this is occurring because of many people's refusal to align with the truth, actually, and their misunderstanding of who Christ is, who love is. People are really missing the boat these days. They're totally missing who Jesus says he is. And I believe that I sense that God the Father is coming near on the scene. I've been sensing the buildup of his presence for the past month and a half as the holidays have actually been approaching. I don't know what that means to you or what that feels like to you, but to me, it means that there's a weighty presence that's drawing near when God the Father shows up on the scene. That means somebody's fixing to be in trouble when the Father shows up. Because when God sends in, Jesus is the healer. The Holy Spirit's the teacher. But when God the Father comes in the room, there's a huge weightiness in the atmosphere where you know things are fixing to get serious real quick. And I really, really believe with all my heart, that's what's happening in the atmosphere over America. That's what's happening in the atmosphere around the world right now, where God the Father is drawing close to his people. Kind of like what he's doing right now in this conversation with you. And this is what I sense. It's genuinely what I sense. So in lieu of that truth, I also sense we need to be wise as serpents and gentle as doves while staying under the radar screen so that God can clean this mess up. You need to be very careful what you post online. And even QAnon stated that. He stated that we need to be very careful in this hour. I didn't understand that. That was about 4 or 5 months ago. Be very careful. But we were entering into that. We were just entering into that then. And now we're in the thicket of it. And boy, am I seeing that prove itself to be true. So, even though we're standing in the middle of a storm around us, the Lord's saying, don't lose sight because God's huge throne is over us in the storm. The Lord says, I am the storm. He's in the storm with us because the Lord said he brought the storm onto the scene, which is his very presence. But there's a rainbow during this storm, which is really, really uncanny because Noah didn't see the rainbow until after the storm was over with. But Ezekiel saw the rainbow during the storm that he observed. And it was during the part where the rainbow completely encircled God's throne. Have you ever read the book of Ezekiel? The rainbow encircled God's throne. And it was a symbol of God's grace during the storm, which was a promise that God was with his people. And he wouldn't forsake them, especially while they were going through the storm. And in this hour, God's sapphire blue throne is drawing near the earth, his throne of judgment. You know what sapphire stands for? The colored sapphire, the prophetic meaning? The color sapphire stands for this: the established word to stand upon to bring God's order into the earth. This color embodies all attributes of blue, which with the black ashes of our enemies under our feet, we say, we're free to say, yes, Lord, I will obey you. And you shall tread down the lawless and the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, says the Lord of hosts. Malachi 4:3. Sapphire is the color under God's feet as he walked and talked with Moses on the mountain to give him his laws and ordinances. To me, this speaks of steadfast wisdom, and we must walk in as covenant with our Creator. Dark blue speaks of the beauty of God's law, not religion. Not under the spirit of or the apparatus of religion, but understanding the law as a standard of love. If we want to stay in God's spirit, we have to uphold the standard. But this occurred. This meeting with Moses took place after he read the words of God to the people and they promised to obey. This is when Moses sprinkled blood on the altar and on the people for the first time. As a result, God called them up higher. He met with them face to face and walked and talked with them. And I believe this was the first time words were written in the Hebrew language. Before this time in history, they were just hieroglyphics. And God gave mankind a way to write words as he walked in that sapphire blue beauty with them. Everywhere God stepped, the ground turned to sapphire stone, and they saw the God of Israel. That is a convincing manifestation of his presence. And under his feet, it was like pavement of bright sapphire stone, like the very heavens in their clearness. Which takes us to Exodus 24:10, and it says, in some ancient Jewish writings, the first set of the Ten Commandment tablets were carved on sapphire stone, not just ordinary rock. And so it makes sense that the rock that we stand upon be the same color that is under God's feet. Thus, from this, I picture sapphire to be the same color of God's shoes. Two shoes, two tablets. One sapphire shoe makes footprints that lead us to love God with all of our heart and all of our soul and all of our mind and all of our strength. And the other sapphire shoe makes footprints to lead us into loving others as we love ourselves. Do you treat yourself well? It's indicative how you treat others. It's also the way we relate with others is the way we relate with God. I don't know if you're familiar with that truth. But we walk into divine order when we walk in his sapphire footsteps. His footprints lead us to the Father's throne, which is also depicted in Scripture to have the appearance of a sapphire stone. And then I looked, and behold, in the firmament that was over the heads of the cherubim, there appeared above them something looking like a sapphire stone, in form resembling a throne. Which takes us to Ezekiel 10:1. The sapphire stone is the gemstone of the tribe of Dan. You know what Dan did? Dan was the war tribe. They were the war tribe. Are we not at war right now? Holy smoke. So this is a right now word. This tribe represents the justice and judgments of God, God's judges. When the judges of God stand in his wisdom, their judgments are pure and holy. When God's judges are led by his Holy Spirit, they cause the church to walk in peace with God's laws and judgments. So Dan was the standard bearer for three tribes, Dan, Naphtali, and Asher. These are part of the personalities of God's heart as we move into C4, by the way, and back into C1. So actually, they're part of C1. So as the cycle starts all over again. So the standard for these tribes together were on the north side of the temple, and their symbol was an eagle. Well, guess what? Eagles eat snakes. So the tribe of Dan had a flag of their own, all their own, and it was a sapphire in color, and it had a snake wrapped around the scales of judgment. When we go it alone, the evil one wraps around our judgment and tips the scales in his favor. So we must travel with others to keep our judgment in divine order. It's all about who you're connected to in this hour, their roots and their fruits, but you can't get isolated by the enemy. You have to be under a corporate anointing in order to fight, if you're going to fight effectively. So we also have to travel with eagles who eat snakes, so our scales aren't perverted by the world, the flesh, or the devil. And we need just weights that are true. So blue, this color is the color of peace and justice. Peace with God, his justice, peace with self, peace with others. A true peacemaker fights for God's justice to be done by loving others. Which brings us to Hebrews 3:1-19. And the Lord's saying, consider this. Consider focusing on the truth and on Jesus. The writer of Hebrews wants us to see the truth for who he truly is. And if you haven't been listening to the past revs, all I've been talking about is throwing the apparatus of religion off, which has really ticked off a lot of people. And if it offends you when people call you religious or tell you you're a Pharisee, then you need deliverance. You need deliverance. If this word offends you, if I offend you, good. That's usually because there's truth behind this and you don't want to deal with your own heart condition. So why do you want to waste? I'm not saying it for anybody particularly here, but I'm just saying it for anybody listening who this is for, because God will put his finger on you. But really, however old you are, you don't know how many days you have. This is the truth. Your life could end tomorrow. Okay. So at 56 years old, I don't know how many days I have. But you know what? I'm going to live life to the fullest until it overflows. And I'm not going to waste 1 second of 1 minute. And I'm not going to let anybody else waste my time. nor should you. But if God puts his finger on something in my heart, even as a leader, don't you think I'm going to be really kind of quick to act on that? For one, because it keeps me moving by the Spirit and it keeps me growing, which is what we're all called to do as Christians. We're not called to live in stagnant waters. If you're in a church or an environment with stagnant people, stagnant waters, chances are God's trying to get you up and out and going, because you're always supposed to be growing. And so I'm not going to let anybody waste my time, and nor should you. And nor should you waste any more second of the time God's given you when he's called you to do great and mighty things for him. So the writer of Hebrews is talking about trying to allow the truth to set you free and seeing truth for who he truly is, for who love says he is, not your version of who you think he is, not your version of who mama said he was or your preacher said he was, but who the Lord revealed himself to you as. Because only the Lord can reveal his own heart to other people. I can try to display the Lord to you, but the only portion I can give you is the truth, because that's the way he made my vessel. So when we reject the truth and that portion and how God made various vessels around us, we stop being sharpened. We stop the sharpening process. We get dull in our hearing. We get dull in our seeing. We get dull in all these things. We get stagnant. And then we wonder why life doesn't go well for us. But the Lord's saying love is fierce. And yes, at times gentle. But true love, it's passionate. Passionate and warm. And it's always seeking and bringing out the best in others. Not the worst. Have you ever got around people who bring out the worst in others instead of the best? Or people that just make you mad by their presence? That's usually demonic activity operating on them. And it's actually the possibility of twofold, two things happening. Could be, for one, you're anointed. Or for two, they're not two, it's actually part B of one. But one, you're anointed. Two, that they're rejecting the anointing. That's possible what it could be. Number two, that you need deliverance yourself, because you draw people to yourself like yourself. Okay? So if you're angry, most likely you're going to draw angry people to you. Or you're going to act in ways because of the demons on your vessel that provoke the anger if you're not anointed. Okay, everybody's got a measure of the kingdom in them, but it's usually because of spiritual activity on your vessel, usually the spirit of religion or Jezebel or controlling manipulative behaviors that bring out the worst in others around you, because they hate that spirit. They hate the way it makes them feel. When you make other people walk on eggshells around you because you're high maintenance or because you're insecure, which Jezebel usually is, it's all flesh driven. It's operating in cold love. It makes other people, it won't let anybody else go underneath the level of superficiality, because it can't deal with the truth. It can't deal with real, warm, loyal, loving, godly relationships. It doesn't allow people to be real or to be authentic, because those people don't know who they are. So they have to demand that everybody around them stay just as superficial as they are. So nobody ever has really warm relationships. They don't ever have real relating. So everybody feels unfulfilled and they get frustrated and angry, bitter, and you have a hostile environment in families or workplaces because of all these hearts congregated together, and they make everybody miserable. Everybody's miserable in one locale. I say, great, keep them in one location away from me. Sincerely. But that's that spirit for you. So these spirits hate the true spirit of love. And then here you come, if you're anointed, here you come and you're operating in the warm, unconditional love of Jesus. And they totally start rearing back against you and trying to throw you out and get you fired and cast you out of your families. That's the reason why. And you know, it's interesting to me because these people always act like they're giving false credence to love. But it's all false humility, man. That's why you hear all these, you get in these atmospheres where people go back like a dog to their vomit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And pardon me, are people like Kurt Landry, you're talking about the four people groups in this hour, and it's actually just two people groups that are going to be moving. One of them actually is the only one moving forward, but one of them thinks they're moving forward with the apparatus of religion on them. The other two groups don't care. They're staying in a mindset of, I know this works for me, but nothing is working for them. Actually, they're just stuck. They've been stagnant for years, but they've accepted it. And so the other one thinks that they're arrogant enough to think the people group that are thinking they're bringing their religion with them, they're actually thinking God's going to accept that. And he's like, no, I'll spew you out. And the one group that actually is walking in, which is the remnant, is their group operating in the warm, unconditional love of Jesus. And they don't know where they're going with the Lord. They don't know where he's taking them. They just know it's good. And those are the group right now that are being, we're all being targeted by the devil because we're over the target. And he's trying to shut us down. He's trying to shut ministries down. He's trying to shut our voices down because he can't stand for the truth to be out there. He cannot risk having anybody on here hear the truth. And they'll be able to resonate with the truth. Like, oh my God, she's speaking truth. Yeah, that's who I am. That's who I am. Double portion of it. So anyway, they give false credence to truth or love, and which is false humility. So the Lord's saying, if this is you, you need to do a heart check, quit pointing fingers. But sometimes the best gift we can allow God to give us is the truth portion of his heart. When we've gone and done everything we know to do in a situation, and we're whittled down to nothing but the truth, why would you want to waste all that time trying to make God get you there when you could just do it like that? When you could just say, you know what, God, if I'm the problem, show me. If I'm the problem, show me. But if there's any hurtful way in me, show me. But you need to let him do that so you quit wasting time. Time is of the essence right now. I don't know if you're aware of that, but time is of the essence right now because God's trying to get you somewhere and get you there PDQ so that you're safe in the days ahead. So you need to get into position. So we gauge our entire life, basically, by the standard of love and not by hard-heartedness if you've gotten hard-hearted, because hard-heartedness, basically, or believe it or not, is a demonic filter. Did you know that? It's a demonic perception by which we view our lives with. So everybody's going to be affected unless we deal with the truth about God, about life, and about our lives or our reality. Are you bitter right now? Are you angry? Are you angry at God? And if you are, it's okay. He's a big boy. He can handle it. But at least come to the place where you're honest with yourself and honest with him so that he can get you into forgiveness and healing and get you out of stagnant waters. A lot of people, there are so many good people out there. And especially if you're a front runner, because the front runners have been through hell. And that's the truth over above anybody in the rest of the body because of all the testings we've walked through. And it's the same, that's what happened to Joseph. If you didn't know, Joseph was a front runner. Did you know that? And they said at the end of his life, when he was serving underneath Pharaoh, he'd gone through so many testings. Even though he had reached the promised land, he had a hard time enjoying it because of all the hardship he'd had to go through. And that's where a lot of, I don't want to live my life bitter. I don't want to live my life angry. I don't want to be around angry people because there's so much of it in the world around me. But there's time is being wasted. And there's too much time is going by so fast in order to let the enemy waste our time and waste precious time having us be bitter and angry about things that we can't control. And a heart becomes hard when we dismiss God's truth and his ways. And the Lord said, just because you're in church every Sunday doesn't mean that you're not struggling with some form of bitterness or anger. It also doesn't mean you know, that doesn't necessarily mean you know me, says the Lord. Oh my gosh, God's getting up in our mix this afternoon. So this is what's going on. He's trying to get us, he's shaking our trees right now. You've heard me say, sometimes God will shake my tree. He shakes off the dead fruit on the lower branches. Sometimes that includes people. Sometimes that includes attributes that I've held on to. Sometimes that includes places that I've stepped into, jobs, relationships. Pardon me. But it usually means when God has placed me into a healing environment. What's a healing environment? A healing environment is when you're blessed enough to step into a church environment or a people group who really know the warm, unconditional love of Jesus. And when you come into their atmosphere, you feel him. You feel him. You may not be able to receive it yet because of the level that you're operating at or not operating at, but you know he's there. You know you're in a gold mine of love. And it also means that God's trying to immerse you in it if you're in the right place so that maybe you'll get free. Maybe he can set you free and get you to listen and get you to trust again and get you in a place where you know it's safe and it's a safe environment to heal in. That's rare. That's rare and far between these days because of the attitudes of the sheep. You have to find safe environments now. You do. Because a lot of people are operating in the apparatus of religion, which comes with it a spirit of judgment and pointing out other people's flaws and a critical eye. So you've got to be wise as a serpent and gentle as a dove. And if you're not in that environment, at least find it within a few people around you who can help you heal. Let's move on. Let's move into Psalms 104, 1 through 23. We're heading in about 36 minutes. We're doing okay today. Well, we're talking about, what kind of world do you want to walk in? What kind of world do you want to walk in? How do you want to live out your life? And it's so easy to me, man, it's so easy to take the world that God created around us for granted. It's so easy to take our walks for granted. And Lord's saying, does your walk consist of peace and joy and fulfillment in me? Or is your walk bitter and hostile and angry? And it's one thing to be misperceived as a prophet because of the calling, but it's a completely different ballgame when you're just a sheep trying to serve in the body of Christ and you're letting anger and hostility rule your world. That is so not joyful. That is so not God. And don't get me wrong, because I know, just like a lot of you, I've come out of environments too where I've come out of people groups that have deeply wounded for no reason at all. They operate in Jezebel or Ahab. They're hostile. They're narcissistic. I've come out of that too. But I refuse to let that rule me. And even to this day, they don't think they have a problem. They don't think that they do, yet that they wonder why I don't come around anymore. I want to hold up a big sign and say, because you need deliverance. All of you. God bless you. Love you from a distance. But I get it. I get it. But I'm not going to allow these types to rule my world. They're not going to rule. Don't let them rule your world. And make you feel like you're always under judgment. And you know, it's funny because these people always think they know everything about everyone. When there was a time in society where society believed the best of each other because we had more of God's spirit operating on more vessels. And it's not so true today. Do you know how to step and then stay in the spirit of love? Do you know how to do that, literally? And even when confronted by the Lord through his prophets of truth, do you know how to stay in the spirit of love? First of all, the Bible tells you to confess your sins to one another when God puts his finger on things. And this is what we take our people through at Ezekiel's Will. We take them through. If you've never been through Celebrate Recovery, by the way, CR, we call it CR. You can find it on our website at ezekielswill.org. Go check it out. We're having our classes start up in January. But if you want God to get up in your mix with intense deliverance, I mean intense deliverance. Oh my gosh, it gets intense. That's the place you want to go. You want to do a Celebrate Recovery group. We're going to have several groups starting in January. Shoot us an email. You can go and click on the icon. If you scroll down the screen on the bottom left part of the screen, there's an icon that says CR. And it's getting your life back. You're getting your life back. Dealing with the deep hurts in life. And it's done in a very private place and space. We have our men's and our women's groups separated to where the men can talk with the men and the women can talk with the women. And you can actually deal with these hard things you haven't been able to tell anybody. And let me tell you, when you get in these groups, there's so much love in these groups and you bond with these men and women that you're in groups with. And it feels so good to meet normal people that are Christian that have the same issues as you've got. It feels so good, even as a leader, it feels good to get it out and talk to people. That's what Celebrate Recovery is for. And God bless Saddleback Church for starting it because it's a phenomenal program. But we implement it too at Ezekiel's Will. We're going to start implementing it and helping you get free. Go check it out at our website. But anyway, that's one of the ways you get free. That's one of the ways you get free. But if you don't, do you get resentful? Do you get mad at people when they put when God puts his finger on things through the sermons and through the prophets? And then you pick up your toys and you go home and you stay stuck and stagnant. And you know, it's funny because today I was driving home. I was thinking about this exact thing because I had to go. I was getting ready for the rev, and then I had something interrupt me where I had to drop everything and go take care of this issue. And I was driving home, and I was thinking about how obsessed society is with living in the past and with trying to stay young. Go with me here. Sincerely, think about this. The problem with always trying to stay young, though, is that you're denying yourself a very, very important crown that Jesus is trying to get to you. You have five crowns. You know that you can get five different crowns throughout your life. But this one's the most important. And everybody wants it. Everybody should want to strive after this crown or be pursuing this type of a crown. Because it's the crown of wisdom. Lord says the beginning of wisdom is a fear of the Lord. That's the beginning of all wisdom. And it comes from maturity in Jesus. And if you think about it, society is obsessed with looking young, acting young, dressing young, instead of cherishing the age bracket that they currently reside within, which makes many people look really stupid and really foolish. Got to dress like a 15-year-old, got to act like a 15-year-old or a 20-year-old. They don't know how to act their age and step into their mental capacity at the age that they're currently residing because they're trying to be everything that everybody else thinks that they should be. They don't know who they are. They don't know who they are. And I look at it, I first started seeing it in church 34 years ago when I went back to church. I went back after my dad passed away and I started looking at people thinking, these people are crazy. They act like they're watching parents watching VeggieTales and bragging about it. And they're 35, 36 years old. And it's one thing for a child to do that, whole different ballgame from an adult to do that. You can't relate with them. Why do you think we're having so many problems in relationships right now? Because people can't relate with one another. They refuse to mature. They refuse to let God put his finger on things so that they can mature. This is getting really, really serious. And it's why we have marital problems, people with marital problems, friendship problems, family problems, because people refuse to mature. They refuse to accept and hear the truth. Sometimes about themselves, a lot of times about themselves. And it's all because they're so focused on the outside instead of what's on the inside, which I believe has thrown many hearts off track from God's truth and his ways. Because we all must grow old. If you think about it, my mother told me that. My mother actually educated me on that about 25 years ago when I had the audacity and the arrogance to make fun of somebody that was older. And she said, you know, Melissa Ray, we all must grow old. She goes, accept it and please repent. I didn't like what you just said. I'm sorry. I had to apologize and I had to repent. But she was right. And I've never forgotten that statement. Never forgotten it once. Is this you? Are you having a problem with where you're at right now in your life? Are you tired of being stuck? Are you tired of life just being stale? And you try. And this is something I just got through doing actually in CR too. I went into CR this last time and I'm going into my second session of it because it becomes addictive, by the way. CR becomes addictive. When you start getting free and you start getting all these big results, I was struggling with something that I had been struggling with for 30 years with an issue. That I'd gone through a lot of deliverance about, and I was thinking, God, I want the root and fruit systems out. I want to finally move on. And I went in kind of skeptical, and I started actually following the process, because it is a process that you go through. And I mean, every time I showed up, God himself showed up. And that's the way he is. If you show up in your prayer time, he shows up. When we keep our appointments, he keeps his. Just like you did with Adam in the cool of the day. But when I showed up and I started walking through the process this time, I got free. And that's why I'll forever be sold out on CR. CR is the most wonderful program in the planet. But it also helps you to start stepping into relationships with healthy people, hopefully around you. They try to hopefully oversee the classes and making sure that everybody has a right to, or not a right, but a chance to share and to help talk about heart issues. But God will make you deal with your heart. Again, consider joining us in January. We're going to head up a bunch of classes. We want to get you free. Ezekiel's will is actually, we're a deliverance ministry, but we really highly focus on training front runners to work their way through God's heart. Deliverance is just one part of the tools. That's all. So we're not a soul deliverance ministry. We do teaching and training. Our specialty is to teach you how to battle witchcraft, high level witchcraft, by the way. Very high level. But we can't just throw you into the deep waters or you'll be overwhelmed. Your spirit man will be overwhelmed. So we do use a lot of layered learning. And we provide you with a lot of videos and things like that for you to do. But that's what I'm here to teach you about. So when I do these revs, they're to kind of give you a taste of what we're about, although you can't get the fullness unless you step in. But consider joining us. We love to work with you and help you get free. And you can do that. Actually, there's an email there for membership, but email us at yeshuanavigator@gmail.com. We'd love to work with you and help you get free. Which brings us, pardon me, to Proverbs 26, 24, and 26 as we wrap up today. But it's talking about our enemies disguising themselves with their lips. You know, how do we know God's people in this hour? God said we know his people by his warm, unconditional love. When you interact with people, do you feel loved? Do you feel loved? You know, I had one of my prayer partners said something so profound recently. And we were talking about our past and talking about, you know, men that we had dated, things like that, and why we broke up with them. And she made the most profound statement, but it could apply to anybody. And she was going to marry a man. And she said, I'm sorry, I can't marry you because you don't love me correctly. You don't know how to love me correctly. That could be true for people in our family. That could be true for friends and telling them, you don't know how to love me correctly. I try to love you, but it's a surfacey relationship. It's one-sided. Pardon me. To where only you benefit because of the level of selfishness operating. That's usually Jezebelian relationships, by the way. Where that spirit is very self-focused. And Jezebelian people are also very, very immature emotionally. Very much so. They refuse to share. They haven't been taught how to share and how to compromise with people and work out issues. And the love that I've known Jesus to be, the revelation of Jesus that I've known and learned about all my life is where you, if you have issue, if you have aught with people, you go to your brother before the sun goes down. My parents made us do that. You go talk it out. You take the bull by the horns and you deal with your issues. You may agree to disagree at the end of the day, but by God, you're going to work the issues out. Because that's what built a healthy family. And my family was the hub of our entire family and always has been because of the gift of love within it. We haven't always done it perfectly, but we've known who Jesus was. One of us did. One of us did. Hopefully. Not perfectly. Two of us did, actually. Me and my mom. But, and my dad. But, you know, sometimes people can disguise themselves with their words. They look like, act like, talk like, praise the Lord. Doing everything they think you, saying everything they think you want to hear. But in their hearts, they harbor deceit. And though their speech is charming, the Lord said, don't believe them. For seven abominations fill their heart. And their malice may be concealed by deception, but their wickedness will be exposed in the assembly. We're in an hour where God means what he says. Because the title today was Overthrow and Obey Now. Obey Now. The storm is upon us. And the blue sapphire thrones. If you didn't catch the full of the 15-minute rev, you need to go back and rewind and listen to the whole thing today. It's where the body of Christ is at. He's getting us free. But don't let the serpent of death bite you and steal your life. He's stolen enough. Really, sincerely, the devil has stolen enough. And it's time to get free and to start really, really living. The Lord says our latter will be greater than our former. If you'll let him do it. But you got to get free in order to have it. Are you encouraged today? I'm Dr. Missy Hood. I do the 15-minute revs on Mondays and Fridays. Happy Monday. I'm hoping to see you on Friday so we can join and turn the page with each other as we continue the conversation. I love talking with you guys. It's a lot of fun. Again, I'm taking a break from YouTube. I'll hopefully be back on there soon. We're just letting the censorship die down. And then we'll be back. And so, but yeah, hope you're having a great Monday and hope you had a great weekend and getting you revved up for the holidays. Halloween was just let it blow on by. I could have cared less. We didn't have any trick-or-treaters last night and I could have cared less. We don't celebrate it. But, and it's not that we're trying to be religious about it. It's because my dad died on Halloween. But anyway, I hope you are. I hope you have a blessed day today. And if you are looking for a tribe, definitely email us again at the link below. Go to our website. Go check us out. It's what we do. We offer a few things for free for you, for the public. You can check out some of our videos there and buy our product. But we're here to help you. We're here to help you, frontrunner, to learn to maneuver through the chambers of God's heart yearly as we get geared up for the cycle to start all over again January 1. Hope you're going to be letting us do it with you. But until then, I hope you have a blessed rest of the day, guys. And I'll see you then on Friday. Bye-bye.